Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've mine too. You can't take.
Welcome back to the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Fear not, Jonathan Hutton is on his way. ETA 10:35. Book that time, 10:35. He's slated to be back. In the meantime, a semi-solo act. I'm here. David Reed is here with me, both working masterfully behind the glass and assisting me conversationally. And Tim Graham, a good old friend of mine, will be assisting me conversationally in just a moment. Tim is a phenomenal writer who left ESPN on his own terms after the initial go-round of ESPN's NFL Nation, where he covered the AFC East, and he left to go to the Buffalo News, which let him do all kinds of stuff, like go to Las Vegas and talk to O.J. Simpson, and he's just recently moved on to The Athletic in Buffalo. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good. Do you think it would have been a bad decision by a news outlet to not let me go talk to O.J. Simpson?
Well, I think that there are plenty of news outlets who would not have spent the money. Now, O.J. Simpson,
true.
They'd spend the money. But
yeah,
the Buffalo News gave you opportunity to travel for stuff. I mean, you did a big piece on sports in Las Vegas that is not necessarily Buffalo-centric. It was a great read, but I don't think there are many papers in America that would send an enterprise writer out to Vegas for a couple of days to do that story.
No, it was a great place to work, and you know, people who follow the newspaper industry would quickly realize that, especially for a sports writer to be able to do that, just to go around and find the best story possible, those jobs have been eliminated all throughout the country. And for the Buffalo News to give me the opportunity to do that, it was heavenly for a while, and but now I'm doing the same thing for The Athletic, so it's been pretty cool.
It did not end great at the Buffalo News, and you weren't the only guy to leave. It was kind of a mass defection, maybe connected to this BN paywall idea, which not working quite as well as The Athletic. Talk us through that.
Yeah, that was part of it. You know, there have been some problems, you know, with the Buffalo News. We're owned by Warren Buffett, which is great, and it insulated us from a lot of the industry's disease that's going on, and it hit us a lot later than everyone else. But the Buffalo News did go to a paywall for its Buffalo News coverage, and it didn't go well. It was very poorly rolled out, and we had our first, not because of this, but at the same time, we had our first quarterly loss in 40 years.
Wow.
And everybody panicked. And they offered some buyouts to some people if they wanted to leave, all voluntarily. Nobody was laid off. But I was told I was not allowed to take the buyout. But a lot of my friends did take the buyout, and it just became like a funeral home there. I was depressed. And I had to leave. So I left on my own terms. Just dumb luck that The Athletic launches in Buffalo probably 2 or 3 weeks after all of these layoffs came, all these buyouts came. And it was a lifeline. So otherwise, I'd still be at the Buffalo News right now. But, yeah, the BN Blitz has been tough. And I know your old pal Jason Wolf came up here and took one of the openings that we had here. And I don't think he can be the savior for the Buffalo News. I think it goes a little deeper than that.
Yeah, I'm quite certain he can't be the savior for the Buffalo News, and I'm a little bit more candid on him. But I will say, to draw assignments replacing first Jim Wyatt and then Tim Graham, you talked about the Buffalo News feeling like a funeral home. That's kind of a funeral deal for Jason Wolf. Let's move to the Bills. Josh Allen, does he have it?
I hope he does okay.
That makes one of us. Josh Allen, does he have it? Is he going to be a guy once they get an offensive line and a receiving core and build the team around him? Do you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback? Or and I know it's only four games, but a quarter in, what has he shown you and what's your confidence level?
My confidence level in him is I think, neutral-ish. But with the situation that he's in with the Bills right now, it's dubious because he has no supporting cast. LeSean McCoy, who is the only star on that offense, has barely been used. 29 touches through three games for him. He's never had fewer than 40 touches. That's even going back to his rookie year when he wasn't featured back in Philadelphia. He's never had fewer than 140 yards or something like that. He's got 80-some. And so he's not being used. And Josh Allen has a receiving core that's led by Kelvin Benjamin, who has been awful, and a bunch of young guys and cast-offs. And it's just not conducive to a young quarterback being able to evolve in the position. And maybe the worst part of all, he played in a game last week where he was sacked 7 times. And the Bills are on pace to give up 84 sacks, I think it is, this year, which would be second only to the 1986 Eagles when Randall Cunningham was just taking over as the starting quarterback, running around for his life and got sacked 100-some times. But only 6 teams in NFL history have ever given up more than 70 sacks. And the Bills are on pace for 84. So this guy's running around for his life, and he has nobody to get the ball to. And he's the Bills' leader in rushing yardage and with only 3 starts. So, yeah, I think he has the skills. I think he's sneaky athletic. He looks like a big, you know, lumbering dude because he's so big, but he is fast, and he can run. And he was stiff-arming Anthony Barr just 2 weeks ago. Hurdling Anthony Barr also, which made all the highlight reels. I mean, the guy is a great athlete, and he may have one of the best arms you've ever seen. But, you know, if his confidence gets crushed, if he's getting pulverized into the turf on a weekly basis, it's not hard to conjure up memories of David Carr in Houston when he was coming out and just had to, you know, had the light knocked out of his eyes on a weekly basis, and just it hasn't been good.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The light was definitely knocked out of Carr's eyes. So I'm confused as to how. I mean, I know they kind of, it was somewhat miraculous that they got into the playoffs last year. Certainly, the context of the AFC helped them. The Nathan Peterman start was a disaster, but they were a playoff team. They ended a long drought. How did they let things go so badly, particularly on the offensive line, where they decide to trade Cordy Glenn? I know Incognito stuff is out of their control and that he was a wild card, but I would think you'd have to factor that in with everybody else. Woods retires, and now they're a patchwork line that can't protect, and I would think that's objective number one for draft day already. They know they need to rebuild an offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line was torpedoed by 2 instances that were out of their control. You mentioned Richie Incognito and his erratic behavior, to put it diplomatically, and then he just retires on them. And Eric Wood was forced to retire. These are both Pro Bowl interior offensive linemen. Eric Wood was their center for 9 years and one of the best in the AFC, and he has a neck injury that is pinching on his spinal cord. He can't play, you know, or else he risks paralysis, and the surgery that it takes to correct it would not allow him to pass a physical. So he was done. And you just take out the heart of that offensive line that was just grinding it out on a weekly basis with LeSean McCoy behind him. That was a pretty indomitable run attack that they had. And so you now have interchangeable parts at the interior line positions that didn't work out. They signed Russell Bodine from Cincinnati, who has been okay, but, you know, he's not going to fix anything, at least not replace Eric Wood. And, it's been a mess. And so they're really going to have to look hard at that position, not only in the draft, but free agency. They have a ton of dead cap space. or a dead cap money that they're spending this year. So once that clears up, it'll give them the opportunity to go out and find free agents. But as you know, Paul, it's not a situation where, you know, Buffalo is such a destination that you can just go ahead and expect to fill in all these spots through free agency, that you're going to be able to entice all a bunch of people to come here and get into bidding wars for the best players, as you do during free agency. And this is a draft build. They're clearly going through a rebuild right now that I think partially was expected. And you mentioned them making the playoffs last year. That helps them to play with a little bit of house money. It takes out, yeah, takes away some of the pressure from the head coach. If you're looking at 18 straight years without the playoffs and then this mess that's on the field now, you probably have fans calling for these coaches and the general manager, Brandon Bean, to get fired already, even though they'd only be in their second seasons. But that pressure's off. And, you know, the fans are just happy that they were a playoff team last year. And I think that they get a lot of leeway because of that. But it's not going to last forever.
Tim Graham of The Athletic in Buffalo is our guest. He's on Twitter at By Tim Graham, like his byline, BY Tim Graham.
BI is a different account.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Fewer followers, but a more kind of exclusive club, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it should be twice as many followers, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, you could argue that. I will look for that on my, what do they call it, the incognito tab to pay another tribute to Richie. How did they pull off the Minnesota upset, and how much of that was on Minnesota?
I think all of it was on Minnesota, and really you don't have to go back too far or think too hard to find it. But strip sacks on third down on each of their first two possessions put the Bills right on the doorstep to build up a huge lead. And from that point on, it's Kirk Cousins trying to sling him back into the game. And the Bills have pretty impressive pass rushers when they have the green light. When you know it's an obvious passing situation, they're going to get after you. Jerry Hughes is great in those situations. So really, that's what it was. It was situational football. The Minnesota Vikings pretty much just spotted them a three-score lead very early in that game, and there was no way they were going to come back from that.
The defense, on paper, looks to be a better unit, particularly against the run. Yet here is your headline recently at The Athletic. Bills' nauseating defense digs a hole that it's about to get bigger. What are the issues on that side of the ball?
Well, they've totally changed. You know, for their first six quarters and then their next, what would it be, 10 quarters since that, through halftime of that second game against the Chargers, they were just god awful, and they were letting the opposition get into the red zone. I want to say it was 9 times into the red zone at 9 scores, 9 touchdowns, I should say. I think it was. I have to go back and look, but it was just crazy. And ever since then, they've adjusted. Leslie Frazier is the defensive coordinator at halftime of that game against the Chargers in week 2, had his play calling duties taken away from him by Sean McDermott. Now, they were since returned to him, but it seemed to just totally change the attitude of the defense, and they've gotten a lot more aggressive. Even though they lost last week and it wasn't a close game at all, like I mentioned, you know, Josh Allen got sacked 7 times, but they gave up only 1 touchdown to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and they were able to hold the Packers, the field goals in a bunch of situations, short field situations. So the defense has been playing very well since, you know, you mentioned the headline. Go ahead and mention the byline. That was written by Tim Graham, who was talking about how awful the defense was. And they've turned it right around since I wrote that.
Good. I'm sure you haven't heard about that in the locker room at all. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting.
They knew how bad they were.
It's an interesting element. Like, I'm sure you're in the same situation. I presume my clips wind up in the packet that some players see, but players aren't reading a handed out packet anymore the way they did in the old days. I think I'm probably read less by players than ever before. You feel the same?
Yeah, I don't think that they read. I think that they've been trained, and rightfully so. I would block me out too, or you, or anybody else. I think that they've been rightfully trained that it doesn't do you any good to read what people are saying about you. But there are still some guys in there that do.
And people always tell them. Right? They didn't read it, but somebody told them.
They'll notice the negative stuff way more than they notice the complimentary stuff for sure, because these are guys that are constantly looking for a reason to have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah,
I recall C.J. Spiller when he was the running back for the Bills, coming out in press conferences, just barking at the reporters about how we had doubted him, and we're looking at each other and we're like, "What are you talking about? We've been writing that you should be getting the ball more." He had some ungodly yards per carry average that was the highest since Jim Brown. Or something like that, and he's barking at us. You all doubt me. You guys never want to give me a chance. And we're like, Jesus, every one of us keeps writing that you need to get the ball more. But anyways, these guys, they're always looking for something to yap about.
I always wish they were motivated by the paychecks, but I've come to realize it's naive. Tim Graham of The Athletic in Buffalo, check him out. Look forward to seeing you this weekend, brother. Appreciate very much you taking the time to visit with us.
Let me know when you get in town, Paul.
Will do.